The merger is about 6 months behind the schedule Duke Energy originally announced in January 2011. It probably was a bit ambitious to hope such a large combination could happen in just 1 year. Despite the delay, Duke Energy spokesman Tom Williams says
the company will largely be what we had envisioned.
7 million customers in 6 states and 27,000 employees. About 1,800 jobs will be cut either through voluntary buyouts or attrition. Williams says most of those cuts have already happened. The company's corporate headquarters will be in Charlotte under the direction of Progress Energy CEO Bill Johnson. Duke CEO Jim Rogers will step out of his day-to-day role and become the company's executive chairman. Just last month, at Duke's annual meeting, Rogers was a little cautious about the merger's chances. Federal regulators had twice rejected the deal.
It will be either third time charm or 3 strikes and you're out.
The third time was a charm. But Duke and Progress had to make some expensive concessions. Federal regulators worried the merged behemoth would be too much of a monopoly among wholesalers in the Carolinas. The companies agreed to give competitors more access to the wholesale market by spending more than $100 million to build new transmission lines. To please state regulators, Duke and Progress had to make a host of promises, including savings to retail customers of $650 million. Giselle Rankin, senior attorney for the state agency that advocates for utility customers, says it's a good deal.
We believe that it is. It basically covers everything that and more than most people could think of.
There's also a provision in there that Duke and Progress can't pass on to their customers the cost of severance packages for employees, expected to be more than $200 million. But the companies make no promises about raising electricity prices. Duke says tougher environmental regulations are forcing the company to make expensive upgrades and build new plants that pollute less. Duke's rates went up about 7% this year. Spokesman Tom Williams says another hike is coming.
And that's just a part of long-term doing business, shutting down older plants, bringing on newer plants. Those plants have to be paid for if we're going to stay a healthy company.
I feel like we're on the Titanic and Jim Rogers is the captain of our ship and he says they can't make any changes.
That's Deb Arneson interrupting our interview with Williams in the hallway of a Charlotte hotel earlier this week. About a dozen shareholders and environmental activists were there for a private 2.5-hour meeting with Duke's CEO. Afterward, the activists came out to air their grievances to reporters. They want Duke to stop building new coal and nuclear plants and to shift to renewable energy like wind and solar. Williams says Duke can't abandon any single power source, but he notes new technology is improving the company's emissions.
We're making progress. Is it as fast as these folks want to make? No, it's not.
I was quite disappointed that the bottom line seems to be for Duke Energy, business as usual for the next several decades.
Jim Warren is another of those activists. He's with the watchdog group NC Warn. 18 months ago, he says, he was hopeful about the Duke Progress marriage.
This is an opportunity because they would be so large to really help shift the regional and national economy to a clean energy economy. That's partly why today is so disappointing.
And why Duke and Progress can expect to become the target of even more critics as they combine into the nation's largest utility. For WFAE News, I'm Julie Rose in Charlotte.